Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Matt Studi. I'm the youth pastor here. Pastor Roy is out of town, so I'm filling in. We're going to do just kind of a one-off message this morning. Roy will be back next week, and we'll kick off a new series for the fall. I've got some friends joining me up on stage right now. They got a couple of quick announcements. Make some noise for Pastor Jimmy and Chastity from Over in Kids.
Thanks. We are going to have a couple of great weekends coming up. So let me tell you about one coming up, September 18th. It's called End It. We've done this for several years in a row. It brings awareness to human trafficking and finances. So we'd love for everyone to sign up. It's a walk or run. The cool thing we're doing this year is you go through the course, there's directional signs. Actually missed one last year. This time they'll all be in place, okay? And so, but on the directional signs, there'll be QR codes. If you scan it within a minute, you'll just get... you'll get a story of somebody who's been rescued. That's about a 30 seconds to a minute story. And so it's kind of personal as you go through the course. And we're going to have food trucks that night and a concert that night, as you can see. So it's a flow. Here's the race. Starts at 5 p.m. We go to the concert. Starts at 7 p.m. A lot of food in between. That's awesome, right? And then we're going to do the very next morning, because we're going to have the stage, we're going to do the outdoor service at 10 a.m. And so bring your long chairs and your coolers. Bring some food. I'll kind of mosey around, find out what food you guys got. So just come and have a good time the next day. That's the 19th. And then right after that service, we're going to do an outdoor baptism. So it's just going to be a party weekend. Bring your campers, hang out, you know. No, I'm kidding. Don't bring the campers. But really look at planning. Go to endit.com to sign up and just check us out on our social media. Cassidy's got some stuff coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend we have Construction Adventure Camp for grades 1st through 4th, 2 to 6 p.m. on this Saturday. At 6 p.m. we're going to do a barbecue. We want your kids to come. We want to love on them. We want to give them free prizes. We want to play with them. And most importantly, we want to teach them about Jesus. And maybe if you have been thinking, maybe I should volunteer in kids, this is a great way to get your feet wet. So give us a text, give us a call. We want your kids here.
That's awesome.
And so to kind of give you an idea or an example of what it might be like, I'd like to show a video from a previous year's highlight reel from Bible Adventure Camp. Check this out.
Good.
My son was born just the other day, and he came in the world like in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay, and he learned to walk while I was away. And he's talking before he knew it, and as he grew, he said, "I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know, I'm gonna be like you." Well, my boy turned 10 just the other day. And he said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you show me to catch?" And I said, "Not today." And he turned with a smile and said, "That's okay." And his smile never dimmed as he walked away. And he said, "I'm gonna be like him. You know I'm gonna be like him." Well, he came home from college just the other day. "So much like a man. I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?" He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?" Well, I've long since retired, and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, "I'd like to see you if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. See, the new job's a hassle. The kids have the flu. But it's been sure good talking to you. It's been sure good talking to you." And as he hung up the phone, it occurred to me that my boy was just like me. He'd grown up just like me. And some of you in the room smile and laugh because you know that's Harry Chapin. It's a song. Young people, look it up. It's on YouTube. It's on Apple Music. It's called Cat in the Cradle. It's a great song. But see, anyone who's a parent and listen to that song, like, you connect to it in the realest kind of way. Am I right? Because this is a journey that kids take, and they watch you, and they imitate you. And like it or not, they do what you do. Sometimes they say that word that you say in private, and they say it out in public. It's like, "Where did you learn that? You?" See, as human beings, we are wired to learn by imitation. We imitate what we see and what we hear. You see this in the cradle. Anyone's got a baby, like, in that little cradle, and they look up with you, those enormous, gigantic, ridiculously big blue eyes, and you make these faces at them, and they make faces back at you. And from the youngest age, they try to mimic and copy the sounds that you're making. This is how we learn to speak. We imitate what we see. It reminds me of a story. Back in the 80s, this kid was living in New Jersey with his mom, single-parent family. Things weren't going well in Jersey, so they relocated cross-country to California in a city called Reseda. And they landed there. She had a great job opportunity. He plugged into the high school. He met a girl. She was kind of cute. And then things kind of came off the rail with him because the ex-boyfriend was still in the picture, and it became a problem. There was tension between him and this ex-boyfriend and his group of fans, and this kid found himself on the wrong side of some bullies and some beating uppings. That's a word. I just made it up. It's okay. Until he found himself a mentor, an older man who would guide him and help him. And I remember when he's in front of that beautiful old classic automobile, and the old man puts two rags in his hands and tells him, "Wax on, wax off." All right, that's the Karate Kid, but you get the idea. I grew up in the 80s. And watching the Karate Kid, I don't know, I'm such a geek. Like, I was that guy, I watched the Karate Kid and go, I could be a karate guy. Like, that guy can do it. Like, wax on, wax on. I can do that. Like, I'm throwing these things down. I don't know. I tried to imitate what I saw. And here's the thing, we all imitate someone. Last example, all right, last analogy, and then we'll move on to some, there's a spiritual point, I promise. We're gonna last analogy. I'm gonna mention an ad campaign from 1992 that took advantage of the global icon status of a particular person. And I'm not gonna give it away, I'm just gonna say a couple of words and hopefully you guys get it. There were great smart people, first service, they all got it. Let's see how you guys do. I wanna be like, yes, come on, make some noise, you guys are amazing. I'm just gonna say it, I think more people in here got it than first service, so gold star, you guys are the top. I wanna be like Mike, right? It was this ad campaign with Michael Jordan, NBA basketball player, top of his game. He was a global icon, a phenomenon like nobody had ever seen before. He was drafted into the NBA in 1984, but by the early 90s, he had won multiple MVPs, multiple world titles, in three-peats, apparently. That's how he liked to do it. And everyone wanted to be like Mike. I remember the theme, like I'm a television kid. You can tell I was a single-parent family raised by television. You know, let's sing it. Let's sing it. Let's see how good you guys are. Sometimes I dream that he is me. Can't you see that's how I dream to be? A dream I move, a dream I groove, like, come on. If I could be like, very good. If I could be like Mike, everybody wanted to be, well, not everybody, a lot of people wanted to be like Mike, but nobody could be like Mike. He's the GOAT, he's the top of the game. Nobody's ever played basketball like him, nobody's ever done it since, with one exception, the late Kobe Bryant. And if you know the story about Kobe Bryant, he, as a young teenager, invested time in watching game film and studying Michael Jordan's game. He mimicked him, he imitated him. You can find a lot of videos on YouTube of side-by-side comparisons of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant because he modeled his game after him. And here's the thing, I don't know. Go to the next one. Michael and Kobe, Michael and Kobe, Michael and Kobe. Show the last one. I try to do that, I just look silly. But here's the thing about imitation. We all imitate someone, right? We all imitate somebody, whether you're probably aware of it, you probably just don't think about it much. We all imitate someone, because imitating someone takes a conscious decision. You decide, you look out across the world full of people and you go, yeah, I wanna be like Mike. Like personally, I wanna be like Mike McGill. I just can't sing that well. You heard me, it's terrible. That's why I talk and I don't sing. We all have someone that we want to be like, and you imitate their mannerisms, their body language, the way they talk, the way they do whatever it is. You model yourself after someone, whether it's your parents, a movie star, someone in pop culture, an athlete. There is somebody that at an early age you were mimicking and imitating. It's how we learn. It's how we grow. And the thing with imitation is it starts with watching and learning. We start by watching and learning. We pay close attention. When you were that little baby in the crib, your focus was singularly on mom's face, and you copied and imitated the facial expressions she made. In junior high, maybe you were watching the latest athletes, copying their moves on the court or the field. Maybe it's guitar. You're learning to play those fat riffs. I don't know. I never learned. And here's the thing, right? Here's the thing about imitation, is at first, you won't be any good at it. At first, you're not gonna be any good at it. When Kobe Bryant first started imitating Michael Jordan, I guarantee you, he wasn't very good at it. But through time and repetition and continued study, he eventually got to be the point where they're mirror images of each other. And that's how it is with us too. See, we're all imitating someone. The question we have to ask is who? Who are you imitating? Who have you built your persona based off of? Or I guess a better question should be, who should we be imitating? And the Apostle Paul wrote in a letter to the Ephesian church, he gives us an insight into this. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. He's saying you should be imitating God. We should be imitating God. We are called to imitate our Father. And you go, okay, that's great, Matt, but I'm at a place in my life where I've never physically seen God. And that's fair. I've never physically seen him either. How are we supposed to imitate someone that we can't see, that we can't hear, that we can't observe? How am I supposed to learn? Well, the good news is Jesus gave us an example. Because if we believe Jesus is who he says he was, that he is God come down in human form, then if we want to know what God is like, we look to Jesus as the example, a physical example that we can look to. We can see eyewitness accounts of how he was and what his attributes were. And that way we can mimic or imitate him. I'm going to look at a verse in the next book in the Bible called Philippians, and it kind of unpacks this as we look at some of the attributes that Jesus himself had that we should be imitating as we go through our life. Let's look at Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Paul writes, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here's our example. And I'm going to point out a few key words as we step back through this verse again, and we'll share how we can kind of apply that to our lives and how we should be imitating God. First one is, he emptied himself. And this is a picture of, you know, God the Creator. And in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus is fully God, that he was always in existence. He didn't come into being when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He's always been around. In fact, he was part of creating the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth happened because of him. And you have this picture of him emptying himself. He's leaving the glory of heaven. He's stepping down off his throne. And he's coming down here into the dirt where we are. The Greek word that Paul used is kenosis, and it's this emptying out, this pouring. And it's not that he poured out his deity. He's still 100% God, but he stepped away from the glory of the throne. And he added to his deity a human form, like you and me. And he came down to this dirty, broken place. And why would he do that? Because it's an example of selflessness. Like Mike was saying during the prayer, he could have stayed in heaven. He could have stayed there. He didn't have to come, but he chose to, because this was his plan from the beginning of time. This was his plan to reconcile us back to him so that we could have relationship with him for all of eternity. And so selflessly, he stepped aside from the glory of heaven and came down to be like us. The second word we see in this is the word servant. He came to serve. Like, it would have been real easy. And like, if it were me, and thank God it wasn't me. But if I was like in that, I might have been tempted to come down. All right, I'm going to come down. I'm going to step aside from the glory of heaven. But I'm going to set up like my own kind of kingdom right here, right now, so that you guys all worship me. And he could have done that, but he chose not to do that. He chose to come as a servant. And the Bible is full of examples of where he came and he served the people where he was at by curing the sick, healing the lame, crossing social and cultural boundaries that were set in place so that he could reach other people. He was all about serving other people. He came down to be a selfless servant to give us an example of how we too should be living our lives. The next word I want to highlight is humbled. He came down in humility. One of my favorite parts of the Christmas story, and in case you're keeping count, like I think we're under 120 days till Christmas, so you better start shopping. All right. One of my favorite parts of the Christmas story is that he humbled himself, and he didn't come and set up this enormous palace and show up with great fanfare. He came as a baby, born in a manger. And the only people who made a big deal about it were the angels talking to the shepherds. He came in humility. He was humble in that he came to an obscure and despised people. He was humble in that he came as a baby. He could have come as a full-grown man and just started his ministry, but he didn't. He was humble in that he was obedient to the rules of being a child, growing up in a household. He was humble in that he learned a trade, and a humble trade is a builder at that. He was humble in the people he chose to hang around and the people he chose to be his disciples. He was humble in that he suffered the agony and pain of death on a Roman cross. He was humble in that he suffered the humility and the shame of dying a criminal's death for a crime he didn't commit. This is a picture of humility. God setting aside his glory, being a selfless servant full of humility, and in the end, being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was obedient to the point of death on a cross. Death on a cross was reserved for the worst of the worst. This was the worst punishment that the Romans could put out to somebody. And he lowered himself to the point of a criminal's death in obedience to God because he loves you. Because he can't stand the thought of eternity without you. Because his heart literally breaks because his relationship with you is broken and he wanted to restore that relationship. And so he was obedient to the Father. You say, well, they're the same God. Yeah, but when he set aside his glory, that intimate relationship with Father God was broken. And in the garden the night before he was arrested, he prayed, God, if there is any way that you could take this cup from me, would you let it be so? But if not, I'm still willing to do it. And he did. And he did it for you, and he did it for me, so that we could be transformed and restored to relationship with him. See, if you take those four points, selflessness, servanthood, humility, and obedience, and like you added them all up, you would get a picture of sacrificial love. Jesus says, no greater love has a man than to give up his own life for his friends. And that's the example he set for us. If we're his followers, we should be imitating this. That's what we should be imitating. And because of it, our lives should be so radically different than the lives of the culture around us, that it should be obvious that that's who we follow because of our sacrificial love. Jesus himself said it. Yeah, some leaders of the law asked him, Jesus, which is the most important commandment? And here was his answer to them. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. There is no other commandment greater than these. It's to love in a sacrificial way. And maybe that's a picture of 500 or 600 people putting on red shirts and going into the community and cleaning yards and painting fences, fixing up houses, not looking for anything in return, just looking to share the love of God with people. Yeah. And being obedient to what He's called us to do, and that's to love. It's not to get in arguments on social media. It's not to stand around with signs and pray. He just wants us to love other people as ourselves. And I get it. It's hard to do. To imitate Jesus is no easy task. And it's one I fail at all the time. Because there's times where I know I should be a servant, but I'd much rather be served. There's times when I could be selfless, I could put other people in front of me, but I feel like I deserve certain things. There's times when my pride fills me, and I look back in shame when I know I should have been humble in that moment. And there are days, way too many than I care to count, when I'm not obedient. And I don't love like He did. But then I remember He forgives me and loves me anyway. Because this journey of life we're on isn't a one and done. You don't cross the line of faith and then, you know, congratulate yourself. It's a journey through life. And God is working in us through the Holy Spirit to change us, to transform us. It's a big churchy word called sanctification. And it means to literally change from the inside out to become more and more like Jesus. More and more like the one that we should be imitating. Because here's the truth. Transformation begins with imitation. I can't expect to become more like Jesus if I'm not doing the things that He did. And I'll stumble and I'll fall. But thanks to God and His grace, He'll continue to give me another chance and another opportunity to be like Jesus, to be a selfless servant who's humble and obedient to what God calls us to do. And that offer's available for you too. Those of us who are followers, that's what we should be about. And this is one of those things where Jesus set an example and said, do as I did. And we find it in the New Testament where Jesus, the night He celebrated the very first communion, He was with His friends and He took off His outer cloak and He wrapped a towel around His waist and He got a basin of water and He knelt down to wash their feet. Now, as a youth pastor, I teach this lesson to the teenagers, and I make a point of, back in ancient Israel, they didn't have Jordans, they didn't have Vans, there were no shoes covering their entire, they wore sandals. And the roads weren't paved and concrete, they were dirt. And they walked everywhere that they had to get. And so feet, they were nasty. I think feet are kind of gross to begin with. Think about it. They're kind of gross. Nobody wants to touch that. But Jesus did. He knelt down to each one of His disciples and He washed their feet. And then the Bible tells us this. When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. You should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He says, this is my example. I want you to be selfless. I want you to be a servant who's full of humility and obedience to what I've called you to do. Because church, we have a job. And he told his disciples before he ascended into heaven, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I have taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if we're not imitating him, we can't do what he sent us to do. It all starts with his example and our willingness to be a part of what he's doing. See, if we followed his example, if we loved sacrificially, we would be a people who were so radically different in our homes, the way we parent our kids, the way we relate to our neighbors, the way we are in our workplaces, sporting events, interacting with everyone out there. There should be something different about us that makes other people see it and go, I want to know what that guy or girl's story is. And that when they ask, we tell them, this is who I imitate. And it's because of his gift of salvation that he's given me that I do that. I want to be more like him. And there might be some of you in the room this morning who aren't really sure about who Jesus is or what you believe about it, and that's okay. I'm glad you're here. And maybe some of you are in here this morning and you're feeling the tug of God saying, it's time to take a step of faith. It's time to cross that line and put your faith and trust in me so that I can begin that transformation process from the inside out. I've given you my example. I just want your life. And in a minute, I'm going to pray and we'll close up. And if it's your morning, man, just give your life over to him. Tell him, I'm a sinner, I'm broken, and I need you to be my Savior. And I want you to be a part of my life. And I'm going to follow your example. Father God, we come before this morning. We thank you so much for this time and this place. God, we thank you for the example we find in your Son. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us watching online or here in this room, with the help of the Holy Spirit, seek to imitate you every single day of our lives. God, that you would change us to be more and more like Jesus, that we could bring some small measure of your light into this dark and broken world as we patiently and expectantly look forward to your glorious return. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Real quick before we leave, if you cross that line of faith for the first time this morning, if you put your faith in him for the first time, man, we'd love to celebrate with you and connect with you. You can text the word trust to the number on your screen and we'll reach out. We'll contact you, kind of help you get information about what, you know, Jesus is doing in your life, maybe give you some next steps, plug you into a small group, set you up for baptism, whatever it is, however we can help, we want to be a part of that. Thank you guys for coming this morning. Enjoy your day off tomorrow. You guys are awesome. We'll see you later.